Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This week, WBUR is examining President John F. Kennedy's legacy in honor of the 100th anniversary of his birth next week. Now, Kennedy made many famous speeches, but one of the most beloved came before he was president. It was at the 1960 Democratic National Convention in Los Angeles when candidate JFK accepted his party's nomination.
We stand today on the edge of a new frontier, the frontier of the 1960s, the frontier of unknown opportunities and perils, the frontier of unfilled hopes and unfilled threats.
The address became known as the New Frontier Speech. Kennedy called on a new generation of Americans to embrace the challenges of their time. Unsolved problems of peace and war, he said, uncharted areas of science, unanswered questions of poverty and ignorance.
But I believe that the times require imagination and courage and perseverance. I'm asking each of you to be pioneers towards that new frontier. My call is to the young in heart, regardless of age, to the stout in spirit, regardless of party, to all who respond to the scriptural call, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For courage, not complacency, is our need today. Leadership, not salesmanship.
The New Frontier speech was the most uplifting political address that anybody in my generation has ever heard. And it swept me off my feet.
This, of course, is David McCullough, the 2-time Pulitzer Prize-winning Presidential Medal of Freedom honored historian. He's just written his 11th book, titled The American Spirit, which collects some of his favorite speeches he's given over the last 25 years. McCullough was in his late 20s when he heard the New Frontier speech. Kennedy's words changed the direction of his life.
When he called on us to do something for our country, I took it entirely to heart. I quit my job. I went down to Washington. I knew no one in the Kennedy crowd, and I knew no one in the government. And I got very lucky and wound up at the U.S. Information Agency. It's been a long time since we've had a president call on us to do something for our country and not just wait for our country to do something for us. And that was, it was as novel then as it would be today.
So what was it to you that Kennedy represented during his presidency? Why is it that when he made that call to serve your country or to do something for your country, it did resonate so deeply?
Because he had served. He was young. He was handsome. He was a great speaker. And he never talked about himself, which in this day and age seems almost incomprehensible. And he was going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. We all felt it, and we're excited about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, since we were talking about service to country, you know, in your speech and in the book, you do include a bit from the president's, you know, famous inaugural address— 1961. But the part that you point out is not the ask not what your country can do for you part, but it's actually a different one. We have a little bit of tape here from that portion of the president's inaugural.
Together, let us explore the stars, conquer the deserts, eradicate disease, tap the ocean depth, and encourage the arts and commerce.
What is it about that part of the speech that's important to you?
Encourage the arts and commerce. He really cared about the life of the mind and the spirit and the education required and the encouragement required to achieve that in a population. And one of my favorite of all quotes, which I do quote at some length in my book, I look forward to an America which commands respect throughout the world, not only for its strength, but for its civilization. This country cannot afford to be materially rich and spiritually poor. Hmm. Oh, if only we were hearing that today. And here's the part I really love. I am certain that after the dust of centuries has passed over our cities, we too will be remembered, not for our victories or defeats in battle or in politics, but for our contributions to the human spirit. Now, who could not be moved by that? Who could not say, whoa, how about that coming from a politician who's leading our country?
Yeah. Well, along those lines, we also have more of the president speaking. This is from his remarks at Amherst College, where he received an honorary degree in 1963.
So very famous speech. Yeah.
When power leads man towards arrogance, poetry reminds him of his limitations. When power narrows the areas of man's concern, poetry reminds him of the richness and diversity of his existence. When power corrupts, poetry cleanses. For art establishes the basic human truth, which must serve as the touchstone of our judgment.
Wonderful. And just as uplifting, just as relevant, just as powerful today as it was the day he said it.
Yeah. Why is it that you think that politicians, presidents, don't really talk this way anymore?
Well, they very often haven't talked this way before and since. We have to remember exceptional presidents are the exception. They don't happen very often. And an articulate, eloquent president comes along rarely, Abraham Lincoln being perhaps the most powerful of them all. Franklin Roosevelt, very much so. And to a degree, Theodore Roosevelt, just as Kennedy said, we will go to the moon, Theodore Roosevelt said, we will build the Panama Canal. Mm-hmm. We will take up where the French failed and succeed. Confidence and good judgment and strong, effective leadership by someone who knew how the system worked.
If I may, does President Trump's saying over and over again, we will build that wall, fall in that same category? It's confident.
Yes, but the big question is the wall necessary and will the wall work? I wonder how much thought he's given to the Maginot Line, for example, which was supposed to keep the Germans from invading France. It didn't work.
Yeah. You know, so when Kennedy called for America to put a man on the moon, it was audacious, it was visionary, controversial. So let's listen to that speech that he gave at Rice University in 1962, where he made the call for the moonshot.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
You know, David McCullough, I've listened to this speech over and over and over again, and the part that always seizes my heart is the fact that the president says, we're going to do this because it is hard.
Absolutely.
It is not an exercise of American exceptionalism that we can do it simply because we are America, but we seize the challenge because we may not be able to do
That's
it.
That's exactly right. That is the key moment in the speech, and it's what is so uplifting about the speech. We're going to take this on because it's very difficult, among other things.
It's not a passive acceptance of American greatness.
No.
That's what gets me.
But, no, it's, yeah. You're absolutely right, and very well said. It was a different time, and certainly he was a different breed of cat. And just hearing the accent, oh my!
Let me ask you though. I mean, from your perspective, having lived through the Kennedy years, and obviously as a historian as well, I mean, what are the fundamental differences between how President Trump talks about making America great again, versus how President Kennedy talked about the greatness of the country and achieving American potential?
Well, Kennedy wasn't a carnival con man. Kennedy meant what he said. Kennedy had experience. He'd never been a draft dodger, to say the least. And he was very intelligent and very well read, very well steeped in the history of our country, in the biographies of great Americans.
Well, David McCullough, I read that you told Time magazine the reason why you wrote this new book, The American Spirit, is Donald Trump, that he's the reason why you wrote the book.
Yes and no. I didn't write the book now. These are all speeches I gave well before anything like Donald Trump appeared on the horizon. What I felt last summer listening to the dialogue, the wretched dialogue that political competition had become, and thought, what can I do to help counteract this? And so I went back and started reviewing some of the speeches I'd given, in which I knew I talked about what I think we value as American strengths and American accomplishments and what we stand for. We can't dismiss history. President Trump, in an interview with the Washington Post, said he'd never read a book about the presidency. He'd never read a biography of a president, and he didn't care to, because he has a mind, he said, it reaches beyond what books might tell him. Excuse me, but that's not how it works.
Now, the book's title is The American Spirit. Do you feel as if the America's spirit is wounded now?
No, I don't. I think that I like to say I'm a short-range pessimist and a long-range optimist. I think that we've got some very serious problems to cope with, including our leadership at the moment. But I feel very strongly that we have been through hard times before. We have been through complicated, difficult times before. And we've always come through not only achieving a better situation, but also in the process becoming better for it. People say, oh, that was a simpler time. No, it wasn't a simpler time. It was a different time. There was no simpler time.
Do you have a favorite speech in the book?
I did make a statement here that I think in many ways defines what I hope the reader will come away from the book feeling. May I read it?
Of course, by all means.
When bad news is riding high and despair in fashion, when loudmouths and corruption seem to win out to own center stage, when some keep crying that the country is going to the dogs, remember it's always been going to the dogs in the eyes of some, and that 90% or more of the people are good people, generous-hearted, law-abiding, good citizens who get to work on time, do a good job, love their country, pay their taxes, care about their neighbors, care about their children's education, and believe, rightly, as you do, in the ideals upon which our life is founded.
The new book is The American Spirit. It's by the one and only David McCullough. Mr. McCullough, it is always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
And David McCullough will be kicking off the John F. Kennedy Centennial at the Kennedy Presidential Library tomorrow. We have lots more information about that at radioboston.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.